You are now tuned in to My Skin Is My Sand on Blog Talk Radio. From goons to gods, we welcome everyone. We only have one rule. And that's be respectful. You are now tuned in to My Skin Is My Sand on Blog Talk Radio. Goons to gods, we welcome everyone. We only have one rule. And that's be respectful.
Call us next week, man.
No doubt, man. And definitely shout out to the family, liberationmindedmedia.net. That is Black Eyes Stand, Do the Knowledge Radio, The Rundown with Renee, and My Skin Is My Sin. Oh, and don't forget to share the show, man. If you check it out today, or if you check it out next week, or if you check it out in 1,000 years, and if you are that motherfucker that digs us up in 1,000 years, you are the most phenomenal individual to ever walk the galaxy for digging up this greatness and still share our shit, man. Shout out to you. Don't forget to check out the websites, mbrochelle.com, designsbymonet.com, and myskinismysin.net.
What's good, fam? This is Jobs, and you are tuned in to My Skin Is My Sin. From goons to gods, we welcome everyone. We only have one rule, and that's be respectful. And yo, we got the man in the house, David A. Arnold, out of Cleveland, Ohio, where I currently reside. How you doing, bro?
What's up, man? Good to see you.
Oh, man.
Or
well,
not see.
Yeah. I'm sorry about that, man. But now I'm going to feel self-conscious about this shit. as soon as we get off the phone, man.
Does everybody know right now? We on Skype.
No, it's just me and you.
I can see me, but I can't see him.
But I'm nothing to look at, if y'all wondering. It is what it is. But how's life, man? And how's your family?
Everything is good. The family is good. You know, just living life, trying to make sure that everybody eats, man.
That's what's up, man. And I do appreciate the honor of having you on, man. And I have to stop myself from saying our family, because I feel like I'm part of the family.
You know what's so funny? Here's the deal. This is what I was telling. I was out having lunch yesterday, and a group of girls were sitting, young ladies, not girls, were sitting table across, and they just kept looking and staring. And it's getting to the point now where I can see when people recognize me from Instagram. And after they got finished, they came over, and she was talking about her sister and how big her fan her sister was. And the first thing people do when they meet me is they want to give me a hug. Mm-hmm. And I think it's that thing, like you said, I feel like it's a part of the family, because my Instagram has quickly become like my family and my family's Instagram. And it's because when people get to know you like they've gotten to know our family like this, they feel like they know you. Yeah. So when they see you, it's different than knowing me from my stand up or from television. You know, it's from this, which is very personal. And so I understand what you mean when you say that, because every time I meet somebody or after shows, when people come to see me perform, it's always a hug. You know what I mean? Which I think is kind of cool, because it's much different than what's normally the thing.
And let me say, first and foremost, man, I'm proud of you and thank you, because y'all represent what most black families are.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all represent mm-hmm. what the media refuses to show about us. And y'all make us feel good. Y'all, we love that y'all love each other.
Man, listen. I appreciate you saying that. Two, I want you to know that Sorry.
Wait a minute. Is that the refrigerator TV?
No.
Because I saw that shit, man. And I felt so poor at that point.
that's my, I got a new TV in my office. And it just started, it came on. No, that's hilarious. This is what I want to say about that. I think that is great. We're just being who we are. Some of the stuff that we do with the girls is, you know, we heighten things sometimes to be funny. And the girls, you know, they get a little mouthy sometimes. But we know what we're doing, because it's doing to entertain people. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We show people what we want them to see. By no means do we not argue and a kid might get snatched up, somebody might get cussed out, Julie might, you know, threaten to leave. I mean, we're a real family. We not
right.
By no means is it a TV show over here. Is it like, you know, but I show the stuff that I show, because, you know, it's if anybody got to knew my stand-up. They know that a lot of stuff that I do is about relationships, family, kid. That's always been my that's always been my world. And I've been doing that since I've been married with kids, so 17 years now. So it's, you know, it's a completely it's completely from my space of what's real in my life, you know what I mean? And I feel like people can relate to that. And people who don't have kids relate to it because they used to be kids in somebody's family. So that's the beauty of it. So I appreciate you saying that you appreciate us putting out the models that we do, because there's a lot of great families on Instagram that I see, and it's good to watch them do their thing.
And you know, you had me up at 7 o'clock in the morning, like crying like a baby. First off, when I turned 40, I just got fucking emotional. I cry over every fucking thing now. But this one, my soul cried when I saw you and Anna Grace.
Yeah.
And you were going over the album.
Yeah, my stepfather's. One of his albums he produced. Yeah.
And I had to call my daughter. Wow. After that. You know, and actually, I need to send her this video because I asked her, I'm like, have you seen this video? She's like, no, Daddy, I haven't seen that particular one. I'm going to send you this video because it reminds me of how we are.
Wow. I mean, dude, I got a lot of that when I posted that video unexpectedly. And it's kind of dope to see people respond like that. And it was a moment for me that I didn't expect to catch me off guard like it did, because it hit me at that moment that I was their age when I watched my stepfather work on that and work to create that album. And for me, it was one of those things where, you know, I'm a stand-up comedian, mm-hmm. I'm a television writer. I'm in pursuit of a dream that I have that has not, you know, been realized the way I want to see it realized, but I still continue to work hard and I've made a great living doing what I'm doing. But I realized in that moment that my stepfather's dream did not materialize the way that he wanted it to. And that is what hit me in that moment. And the only thing that I, like I told my daughter, and I think that everybody realizes, especially men for their kids, the only thing that I want them to see is to see me working hard always. You know what I mean? Because for all intent and purposes, I tell people this all the time. I came to Los Angeles 22 years ago with 2 addresses to 2 comedy clubs and 2 trash bags full of clothes. And I didn't know one single person, not one. I didn't have a lead. I didn't have a friend. I didn't have anybody to tell me to go over here instead of going over there. I knew no one, no one to show me the ropes, no one to tell me the game, none of that. I just came out here and just walked around and figured it out, made mistakes, did, you know, and now, you know, I'm sitting here in my 5-bedroom house, my swimming pool is outside, my wife is in the other room, you know, doing whatever it is she's doing. My kids are in private school. I'm taking care of, everything is taken care of, and I'm making a great living doing what I love to do. While it may not be at the level in which I still aspire for it to be at, I'm way beyond where I came from. And to me, it's how far you've traveled. And therefore I look at myself as successful because I make a great living doing what I love to do. So I want my daughters to see that. You know what I mean? I want my daughters to see a man that works hard. That's why when they leave, and no matter how late I work at night, if I'm out at the club performing, when they get up to go to school, I'm standing outside every morning saying goodbye to them. I never let them see me in the bed sleep when they leave to go to school. I'll never want my daughters to leave to go to work or school and leave some nigga laying in the bed sleep.
Oh my goodness, man. I never want to do that. 1,000%.
And anybody who's seeing this, if you with a nigga that's you getting up to leave and this nigga ain't, and you going to work and he not, and if he sleep and ain't making you breakfast and ain't doing something, you got the wrong person in your life.
Facts. Please
move on. And
that's
just who I am.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. And you come from, what I also like is that you let people know the lineage that you come from and every branch on the tree that was significant. And yeah. You highlight the men, the strong black. Like I saw the interview you did with one of the reporters here in Cleveland.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. and you were talk. You went to your old your grandfather's house.
Yes.
And that was some powerful shit, bro. Like,
well, that's where this is always my thing when I do these interviews. Most comedians, when they do interviews, I know we're supposed to be funny and people listen to us. They go, oh, my God, you know, because most comedians set me up and ask me about this and I'll do this bit about this and do that bit. When I'm in these interviews and I talk to people, it's always an opportunity for me to just try to share who I really am. If you want to see me do stand up, you can see me do stand up. Right. You know what I mean? But in these moments when we have these kind of conversations, I try to share as much of my real self as I can. And it could hurt or help, you know, whatever I'm doing. But my grandfather, we went to my grandfather's. My grandfather was the hardest working, funniest dude I ever knew in my life. Mm-hmm. I watched him work every single day his entire life. And I got my work ethic from him. I got it from my stepfather and I got it from my dad, you know. And I was fortunate enough to be surrounded by three men that poured into me in different ways. So therefore I am a perfect blend of all of them. So my grandfather, that house and that place where I was one of the places where I was shaped as a kid, you know what I mean? Where I grew up in Cleveland on 93rd, right off 93rd and Kinsman on Manor Avenue.
That's the hood, so, by the way, if people don't know, that's the hood.
That is the straight.
Right. That's the hood.
That is the straight hood. You know it's the hood because it's abandoned shopping carts all up and down the street.
So you know, man, like I'm thinking about the interview, and I'm not the funniest person on the planet, and I found myself like, damn, I gotta say some funny shit because he's a funny cat, you know. So I didn't want to. Do you get that people are either they try too hard to be funny or they don't want to be one of your jokes?
Well, I mean, there's always people when they're around comedians that feel like they want to show that they have a funny bone too. And some of them make the mistake of going, hey, man, I got one you can use. And you don't. Nobody does. There's no comedian who's ever had a conversation with a regular person and went, oh, I was talking to this butcher the other day and he had the funniest story. None of you are funny. None of you are funny. You can be humorous. You can have a little joke to tell at Thanksgiving. But to commit to us who manufacture this, none of you are funny. And we laugh at the attempts. You know what I mean? And there is nothing more offensive to a comedian than for a civilian to go, hey, I got one you can use. As in other words, all the shit that I've been doing is no good, but this little joke you heard at the office the other day, that's what I need in my career to take me to the top. So you get all versions of it. I laugh everything off, but you know, I always tell people, you know, people expect me to be on all the time because I'm a comedian, and I'm not on all the time. I'm really not.
And you know, I'm a nurse, been a nurse for 30 years.
I used to be a nurse.
You understand. So, like, I'm an asshole by nature, though. So I used to get a lot of calls from everybody in the family. Oh, my blood pressure is 600 over 400.
Yes.
Go to
yes.
the hospital.
They all want free medical advice when you're
right. Hurt. But they don't take it. I'm like, well, you need to go to the hospital now. I call them the next day. Well, I really didn't go. I put some salve on my foot for, okay, well, don't call
then
me
you
when
ain't
you stroke.
Sick.
Right. Oh, my God.
You ain't sick. Yeah, they want your help. Let me tell you something. I was a medic in the Navy. Then I got my nursing credentials, and I worked as a nurse for the first 10 years I was here in Los Angeles. I ran a family practice clinic out here in one of the cities for the last 5 of the 10 years that I worked. And being a nurse and I have an uncle mm-hmm. who I was named after, my Uncle David, okay. who is a physician. He's a medical, he's an ER physician. Mm. He's retired now. But he... Every time you have anything, people want to get act. They always want your advice. Ah, Dave, I hurt when I do this. Don't do that. What you think it is? I think you got cancer. That's what I think. I think you on your last day. You don't ask me. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, No, people, they want to hear your stuff. Like even Julie, my wife, Julie, you're the nurse. Help these children. I go, okay, if I'm the nurse and you want my advice, ain't nothing wrong with none of y'all. Get your asses out my face. Because when you're sick, you're going to go to the hospital. That's one thing about the body. When you really sick, body going to shut down.
Yeah.
And ain't nothing you can do, but people don't understand that. People just want to hear, just like people want to lose weight. They want to lose weight but not do a crunch.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to do the work. Nobody. People sick, they want to get better, but they don't want to do what they... If they want to get better if it makes them more comfortable. If I can do it in a comfortable way. You know what I mean?
I'm comfortable in my lazy.
That's hilarious. At least you own it.
I do. I it's no... Like, you ask anybody. Like, my co-host is like the super... Like, this dude works out religiously. I'm like, bruh. I'll pick up an ink pen and some apple juice, and that's about the extent of it. The rest of my time that I'm not at work, I'm on the couch, literally.
That's hilarious.
It's the truth. You know?
I believe.
But, you know, in my profession, I kind of have seen, I know how this shit's going to go. You're going to die. You're going to die from something. Why not be okay with who you are while you are here?
That's hilarious. That's
hilarious. And I'm pretty sure somebody will kill me for saying that, because now I've given their grandmother a reason not to work out. It's not my fault.
That's the only reason. The only reason I work out, and the reason, because my six pack days is over. I'm past the six pack days. You know what I'm saying? I don't need no six pack no more. I got money now. Money truck six pack every time.
Thanks.
But I want to see my kids' kids. So I'm like Julie's dad is 70, I want to say 77. Mm-hmm. Every time he comes, you know, Julie's father was, he was a professional basketball player. He played in one of the biggest NCAA championship games in 1963. It was called the Game of Change. It was the first time that a black team and a white team ever played against each other.
Texas Tech, right?
No, it was Mississippi and La Jolla.
Oh, where did I get Texas Tech from? Anyway,
yeah, but it was huge, and he played with the Knicks, and he was. Bottom line is that at 77, every time he comes here to visit, and we have a gym here in our house, he up until about 2 years ago, he would go in the gym and run for like 30 minutes on the treadmill, and. Like now my daughters are 12 and 14 and he takes them to like Disneyland or to one of the amusement parks and walks around with them and gets on all the rides with them and they have a ball. And I go, you know, that's the reason I work out, because this is not at 50, this is not about a six pack. It's about me making sure that when I'm 70 and my kids have some kids, that I'm able to walk through the amusement park with them a few times and be able to spend some time with them. That's really what I feel like working out after 50 is about. It's about keeping myself healthy just so I can, because 70 gonna be, 60 can be good, 70 mm-hmm. can be, 80 gonna be 80. Ain't nothing you can do about 80. 80 is 80. But 60 and 70, you have control of what them 20 years can be. You know what I mean? And so therefore, that's why I try to keep my shit together. And, you know, I want to be in shape enough to break Julie off for a couple of full years.
Yeah, right. And see, you know what I did? I had a preemptive strike, though. I had my kids hella early. So I'll be 48 next week. I've got 3 grandchildren.
Oh, so you're good already.
I'm good with my lazy. They still got another 10 years where I'll be able, I might even see a couple of graduations from them and be able to walk.
That's hilarious.
You know, I'm looking forward to Pampers. I'm not going to lie about that.
That's hilarious.
And that reminds me that the skit you did on the nursing home, that was fucking hilarious, bro.
Oh, the stand-up bit?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Man, you've really watched a lot of this stuff, huh?
I don't like to bring people on the show and look stupid. And I don't want anyone to ever feel like you just got me on the show because of what I do. I mean, it to be honest, it is, but who you are makes a good interview.
Well, I appreciate it, man. I really do. And I know we've been trying to do this for a while. And I appreciate the patience. But here, and let me tell you these couple things, so then I do have to go.
Okay.
But I want to, you know, I've been doing stand-up for 22 years, you know. I'm a television writer and a producer. You know, I wrote House of Pain and Meet the Browns. Mm-hmm. I wrote Real Husbands of Hollywood, Zoe Ever After. I was for Brandy. I have a show on BET Plus right now called Bigger That Streaming. Netflix called Fuller House. I did the last two seasons of that. That's currently on streaming. My stand-up special will be out on Netflix in the next 30 to 45 days. We're mm-hmm. doing marketing. Kevin Hart is the executive producer. It's called Fat Ballerina. I'm That's very dope. Excited about that stuff that's coming out. I've been touring the country, and I'm hoping that after the special hits the Netflix platform, it will open up opportunities for me to go to some of these comedy clubs and cities that will not bring me in because the markets, they feel like, you know, I'm not big enough to be in their markets. There's a lot of people going, why don't you come here, come there, come there. Some of these clubs will not book me. You know what I mean? Because they just don't. And this is the game. This is the business of it. And I'm just trying to. That's why I started the social media, because I started doing social media last year, about 18 months ago, because I wanted to connect my face with my comedy. And in 18 months, we went from 2,000 to 600,000 followers, you know, between Facebook and Facebook and Instagram. And I appreciate anybody who shares and follows and tweets and reposts anything I do, because, you know, it's because of them that I'm building a following and getting a name, and people are coming out to see me, and it's giving me a momentum that I didn't have before. So I believe in that social media thing, and I didn't want to be that veteran old dude comedian complaining about these new school comedians that's got, you know, a million followers, and then you go see them at the comedy club and they ain't got 15 minutes of material, you know, because yeah. I tell people that all the time. I'm not a social, a lot of you guys got to know me through social media, but I'm not a social media personality that's giving stand-up a shot. I'm a stand-up comedian that's learning how to do social media, you know what I mean?
And you know what, I think that's where it gets lost, because I found myself, like, I started watching some of your stand-up, and I'm like, this nigga is fucking hilarious.
Yeah, I've been doing stand-up 22 years, man. Well, this is my third special that's coming out. But because I've been under the radar, people mm-hmm. have not seen me, and I've made a lot of my moves behind the scenes producing and writing television, so people haven't seen me. So what's dope for me is when y'all come out to see me at a comedy club, because you've never seen me before. And, you know, a lot of people say this. They go, I watch you on Instagram all the time. I love you. I was like, oh my God, please let him be funny in person. And they were like, because, you know, because social media personalities have the reputation of not being good.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, because everybody, and that's true for most social media comedians, most of them. There are a few exceptions that are really comedians. But a comedian, you know, like Jerry Seinfeld said, a real comedian gets on stage and sustains for an hour and 15 minutes. That's a stand-up, you know, and that's what I am. So I love watching people. I love the fact that I could do a video about, you know, where are all my spoons at in my house. I do a 60-second video about that, or I rant about my daughter's not cleaning their room, or I show a video of me busting my daughter sneaking a laptop upstairs, and that makes people go, oh my God, he's coming to here. I want to see him. Mm-hmm. But the 22 years of stand-up that I've been doing got nothing. But mm-hmm. then when people come to see me, they go, oh my God, this nigga's a comedian.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
For real. And I am.
Yes.
And
yes.
That's shit was my funny. Favorite part.
Yeah, shit was hilarious, man. Before you go, 7/12, is that your anniversary?
Yes. How you know that? God damn.
It's research, bruh. And
yes.
And
it's my, me and my wife got married July 12th.
So did me and my wife.
Wow.
I
haven't been married?
It'll be just 4 years this year. I had to literally go look at my painting, because we did our little paint and sip, me and my wife, for our last anniversary. Uh-huh. And I literally had to go, I hope she don't listen, but I had to go remind myself just to make sure. I had to run upstairs right before you call and shit. Well, I didn't want to say the wrong shit.
That's hilarious. Yep, it's July 12th. I think it'll be 17 years. I think 17 this coming up. Maybe 18. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm looking. You know, I'm doing my shit, and I'm like, wow, me and this cat got a lot of shit in common. This is just weird.
Dude. You know? Yeah. Because we you know, trying to take care of your people, man. Make sure everybody's okay.
Absolutely, man. I guarantee you doing this show is not going to help you, but I do appreciate it, man.
Man, 1,000%. Listen, I appreciate the time. If people want to follow me, they can do it at the David A. Arnold. If you post this, let them know. When you post this, let them know it's at the David A. Arnold. You got to put in the A or you'll never find me. You'll get the white man that does the soundtracks for James Bond. It's David. It's a guy named David Arnold.
That nigga is rich.
I know.
Right. I saw that. They was like, that's the first thing to say. He's worth $81 million. Then I seen the TV in the refrigerator. I'm like, wow, is it the same guy? I'm not sure.
That's hilarious. Yeah.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I'm harping on that TV. Not yet, huh?
Not yet. But it's coming.
I believe you, bro. And the humility, man, I really appreciate that. Most people wouldn't even respond to me. So I would have waited 10 years, bro. It was definitely worth it.
Let me tell you something. I appreciate it. When I come back to Cleveland, hopefully you get a chance to come out to a show. And thank you for having me, man. I really do. I appreciate it.
No doubt, man. If you ever need anything, I'm poor and fat, but if I can hook you up, I damn sure will, bro.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
We'll be in touch.
All right, peace.